Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Menu Live this week. This week, we present to you a two-hour presentation from TNT Consultancy. Brian Hargin joins us to talk all about brand-new products that they're coming out with, JSAY version 6 and JTunes version 3.2, and much, much more, including a brand-new product called Say Magic for those of you who are Magic users. Let me give you our contact information, and then we'll hear from Jamie Pauls this week from Access Watch. Tonight, you can reach us on Instant Messenger at mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. You can also email that address as well. During the next hour, we'll be opening up the phone lines for you to call in and ask questions. So do not call during the first hour. I've noticed we've already gotten a couple of callers, and just sit back and relax and listen to the first hour, and we'll let you know when you can start to call in. Next week, we're going to be having Jim Fruchterman on from Bookshare, and then our panel of Macintosh experts comes back, and they have some exciting information all about the new Apple laptop, and they're going to be sharing that with us. Then, the next week, we're going to be hearing from GW Micro, all about WindowEyes version 7.0 and its new scripting language. So that's what's coming up during the next couple of weeks on Main Menu. You definitely want to be here to listen to those. Let's go ahead now and listen to Jamie Pauls from Access Watch, and then we'll welcome our panel from TNT Consultancy and others.
This week I'd like to talk to you about a spyware removal program. Unfortunately, if you use a computer for any length of time at all, that is a sad fact of life. I managed to keep my system pretty clean, so I haven't had to give this product a thorough testing, but what little work I have done with it shows Super Anti-Spyware to be quite usable from the keyboard. It sports a wizard interface, so it's very easy to follow the prompts, and the results are displayed in a list view with nice checkboxes that allow you to check and uncheck items that you wish to delete or leave on your system. It's free, that's always nice, and there's a paid version as well. So check it out at www.superantispyware.com. Come visit our newly updated Access Watch site at www.accesswatch.info, as well as our recently updated blog at http://accesswatch.wordpress.com. Have a great week.
Thanks, Jamie. We really appreciate that. Now, keep in mind, everybody, that I'm solo this week, so it's going to I'm doing the job of two tonight. So if you instant message me and it takes a little bit of time for me to get back to you, please hang in there. We'll definitely get to you. Let's go ahead now and warmly welcome our panel of guests here tonight. And let's see. We have Brian Hargin and Terry Clasper. And I'll let you guys go ahead and introduce the rest of our panel. We're worldwide tonight. We got everybody all over the world, huh?
Yeah, we're worldwide. This is Terry here from the United Kingdom, where it's a gorgeous, juicy 1 o'clock in the morning, or just turned. I threw myself out of bed about 20 minutes ago.
Dedication.
And that's the reason why I'm so wide awake tonight. So Brian and I are both here from the UK. Brian, great to have you along. It's the same time in the morning for you. How wide awake are you feeling at the moment?
Bright and breezy, ready to do some demonstrating of new TNT products.
Thank good heavens for that, because if you weren't, I don't know what we'd do for the next hour. Let's cross right over to the other side of the world now and introduce you to Scott Erickson. Scott is part of our brand new venture in Australia, which is being officially opened in a couple of weeks' time. And Scott is in Sydney. What's the weather like in Sydney today, Scott?
It's quite sunny, actually. It's really nice, you know, blue sky. I've already been out this morning. I was out bright and early, and it's really nice. It's actually It's about 12 o'clock in the afternoon here, so it's some of us have been up for hours.
Okay, well, we won't bring you in too much for the moment then, because you're far too cheerful. somebody who's also been up for a good many hours and is at the end of his work day now is Ed Rosenthal from our representative company. Great to have you along.
Thank you, Terry. It's nice to be here, and I'm looking forward to the next couple of hours with everyone.
So that's the panel. That's the people who, over the next hour, are going to be walking and talking you through some TNT products, brand new products to talk about, and also some changes to existing products. Hope you can stay. And as Jeff said, after the first hour, it'd be great to have your questions via the necessary means that Jeff's already given you right here at ACB Radio. So, without any further ado, let's start to talk about some products and begin by talking about the TNT flagship product called JSAY. JSAY's been around for a number of years now, and for those of you who want to find out more about the product, please feel free to visit the ACTV Radio archive section, where there are lots and lots of programs which Brian and I have done over the years talking about JSAY. But in brief, for those of you who don't know, JSAY allows a visually impaired person to talk to the computer via Dragon Naturally Speaking Professional voice recognition software, and at the same time it receives synthetic speech feedback of the screen activity via JAWS for Windows. Now, if you try to do that using those two native products from Freedom Scientific and Nuanced respectively, without JSAY sitting in the middle, all kinds of issues and problems would happen. You wouldn't get a really good, harmonious experience. And as well as JSAY making all the technical stuff happen, the thing that's fantastic about JSAY is that we present the two products, JAWS and Dragon, as a single user interface via the JSAY user interface. Well, version 6 of the product has just come out, which brings together new compatibility for Windows Vista and Office 2007, as well as a whole host of other things. Now, in the past when we've demonstrated JSAY, we've recorded the JSAY presentation for you, let Main Menu broadcast it, and then come on to Main Menu Live and talk about it. Tonight, we're not doing it that way. Tonight, we are literally flying by the seats of our pants, and with this seatbelt firmly fastened, to demonstrate some of the features of JSAY 6. I hand it over to Brian.
Thanks very much, Terry. Okay, so what I've got in front of me is quite an elaborate array of computer equipment, and we're transmitting it all through Skype. So I do hope that the demonstrations that I am going to do will come across okay, although I think I'm going to be doing more talking than demonstrating. But if you can't hear at any time, I'm sure one of the other members of the panel or Jeff will soon alert me to it. Okay, so JSAY version 6 is what we call a compatibility release. It is a chargeable upgrade, and we'll get to the prices a little bit later on. But the main purpose of the product upgrade was designed so that the JSAY technology could function with Windows Vista and Office 2007. Okay, as well as the existing Office 2003 and Windows XP that we were previously supporting. We are using JAWS for Windows version 9. That's the latest release of the screen reader. And also Dragon Naturally Speaking version 9.5. That's the professional version. And it must be that the professional version is required for JSAY to work. Okay, so having said that it's a compatibility upgrade, we do have a number of new features in the upgrade, which I'm going to get to. They weren't all necessarily planned. We just wanted to make sure that we provided the necessary compatibility, but we have put some new features in, and it's going to be my pleasure to demonstrate some of those to you. We will be releasing a feature pack for all JSAY Pro 6 customers. Okay, that will be released towards the end of April this year, and that will contain lots of new features that our customers, and particularly our beta testers as well, from different countries around the world have been asking for. So we will be including some substantial new improvements. But as I say, we've got some features to demonstrate. I want to just come back to this issue, though, of compatibility with the new operating system and Office version, because
we'll again remind you that Benetech or Bookshare will be with us next week. Jim Fruchterman will let us know what's going on at Bookshare and what the future holds, and in our Mac panel next week, and then GW Micro. And we'll be making an announcement during that show about some programming that's going to be happening on Main Menu in correlation with the scripting for Window Eyes version 7. We're going to be doing some pretty exciting things in that area. If you remember the Jim Snowbarger scripting tutorial, well, just keep that kind of thing in mind. And I'm going to see here if Brian... see if Brian is back here. Let me try calling him. Sorry about this, everybody. Unfortunately, we're not able to reach Brian, so we're going to go ahead and play a bit of music here while we attempt to reach him again, and we'll be right back. Yes, we're back, I think. Let's see. Is everyone back?
I think we lose our connection somewhere along the way there, Jeff.
Yeah, Brian was... Brian had kind of faded away there a little bit. And okay, he was talking about compatibility.
Absolutely. So basically, this is a feature release of JSA, and it... as well as offering compatibility with Windows Vista and Office 2007, also offers some new features. However, the features which are new primarily are going to come along in a feature pack which we're releasing towards the end of April. What we'd like to do to begin with, as far as JSA is concerned, however, for those people who've never heard somebody talk to a computer, is just do a little bit of dictation so that we can show you what it sounds like when you use JSA to talk to your computer and have your computer echoed back to you. So let's ask Brian just to give us a quick demonstration of what it sounds like when you're talking to your computer through JSA.
Okay, so at the moment the microphone is not listening predominantly to what I'm saying. It's what we call asleep, but it is listening for some specific phrases. So let's see if we can activate the microphone. I'm in Microsoft 2007, and I'll do a bit of dictation into Word. Check microphone.
Microphone's living.
Listen to me. This morning, comma, I went for a walk in the park, full stop.
This morning, I went for a walk in the park, full stop.
The sun was shining, comma, the birds were singing, and I enjoyed my walk very much, full stop, new paragraph.
The sun was shining, comma, the birds were singing, and I enjoyed my walk very much, full stop, new paragraph.
When I reached home, comma, I wrote to my friend Mary, full stop.
When I reached home, comma, I wrote to my friend Mary, full stop.
I wanted to tell her about all the exciting places I had recently visited, exclamation mark.
I wanted to tell her about all the exciting places I had recently visited, exclamation mark.
Stop listening.
Stop listening.
Okay, so it made one error there, but given the mix of technology that we're working to, I think that's actually quite good. What I was saying before the breakup was that what we've done in this release is we've made sure that the technology is compatible with Office 2007 and Windows Vista, and that in itself has been quite a challenge. Because we have such a variety of commands. We have over 1,500 commands within JSA, voice commands. What we've had to do is make sure that they all work within both operating systems and both versions of Office, and that the product is still stable and reliable. And hopefully, you'll agree from that very brief demonstration that we do in fact have responsive product. I'm actually using Windows Vista at the moment. Okay, so now on to some of the new features then. And the main new feature that we've introduced is something called the Configuration Wizard. We actually had a version of the Configuration Wizard, as I think I demonstrated in Main Menu, when we were at JSA version 5. Okay. But we've changed it. It was all virtual viewer based. People who are familiar with JAWS will know about the JAWS virtual viewer, and it is a wonderful tool. And what we had some narrative text and then some links. The purpose of the configuration wizard is actually to control many of the JSA special options that we have and special functions. What we've done in version 6, we've actually made it into a dialogue box, okay, which is much easier to manage. I'm going to talk you through some elements of this dialogue box in just a moment. But if you can imagine what it's like for people who have version 9, if you press Insert V to get the JAWS verbosity tree, the new style JAWS verbosity, I think it's called Adjust JAWS Options, you'll actually see a tree of options. And alongside each option, there is a help window. And you'll notice also that that's application specific, but it's linked into the main JAWS default options. We don't have it linked into the JAWS standard verbosity options. We've constructed our own special dialogue, but using the JAWS components of the tree. And what you'll see as I go through some of the options now, that we're not only enabling and disabling special JSA functions, although that's very important, but we're also using this whole concept of the configuration wizard, the JAWS tree view concept, to launch special functions as well, which take you into subsequent screens. So I can actually control all of this configuration wizard. I can launch it, I can move through it, and so on by voice. But I think what I'm going to do for the moment is I'm actually going to use some keyboard commands in order to move through the configuration wizard, so that I can actually provide some narrative text for you and explain what's going on at the same time. We also find, by the way, that sighted people find this whole appearance of the dialogue box much easier to use when they're training visually impaired people how to work with JSA technology. Because when they were confronted with the virtual viewer-based configuration wizard previously, sometimes they were a bit unsure how to work with it. They'd never seen the virtual viewer before. Whereas a traditional dialogue box affair, it's much easier to manage, and they know that they can click on different options with the mouse, and the instructions are very clear. So I'm going to press the keystroke now, which will bring the configuration wizard into view.
JAWS, JSA Configuration Wizard Dialog, Echo Dictated Text Phrase by Phrase Enabled, 1 of 18.
Okay, so there are 18 options here, and the first one is Echo Dictated Text Phrase by Phrase. I'm not going to go through all the options, I'm just going to point out the new ones. But essentially, as you heard, when I was dictating text there and I was pausing, it was actually announcing back what I dictated. Well, you can turn that on and off, and there are reasons why you might want to turn it off, and we're going to get to those later, because we have a special new mode related to that. But if I wanted to turn that off, I could hit the space bar, we could click it with the mouse, or I could say select option, which would select the option to be disabled. If I press the space bar now...
Echo dictated text phrase by phrase disabled.
Okay, that's fine. If I press the tab key, we move, of course, into the help window. We can, again, get to this via a voice command. And we've thought about the language very, very carefully in relation to the help. Each help window relating to each option in the configuration wizard is very consistently presented. Okay, so I'm going to let you hear a couple of these. I'm going to press the tab key.
Edit read only. JSA can echo each phrase as you dictate. When you pause during your dictation, JSA will immediately repeat what you have said. This mode is recommended for all users unless you are using a braille display. When enabled, JSA echoes each phrase as you dictated. When disabled, JSA will not echo each phrase as you dictated. This option is enabled by default. Lang, the voice commands to control this feature are echo on, echo off, and check echo to verify its status.
Okay, so we're very clear about how you control the option and what the voice commands are if you want to manipulate it without even coming into this configuration wizard. Okay, so that's how the configuration wizard works. There is no tree structure as such because there are only 18 options. So the tree of options that you would find in the Adjust Yours Options dialog is disabled here. I want to get on to perhaps one or two of the new options, though, because one of the difficulties has always been that with Dragon Naturally Speaking as such, some people will power the computer off without saving speech files. These are the files which are always generated when you improve your voice recognition experience, if you like. So when you train the software how you pronounce different words and phrases, there's material which gets stored. It's always learning how you pronounce different passages of text. And those files get saved. And if you shut the computer down inadvertently or something like that, and then you restart the computer, you will find, possibly, that the files become corrupt, and, of course, if you're completely dependent upon this technology and you can't use the keyboard, then clearly you're going to have some difficulty. So we've always had the ability to back up, make a copy of the speech files, and actually restore them should the unavoidable occur. Okay, well, what we've done is we've actually put all this into the configuration wizard now, so it's much easier to manage. Previously, we've always backed up and restored these files to only drive C, the local hard disk on the computer. Okay, but what we've done, because we've put them in the configuration wizard, we've actually used this technology so that we can examine all the drives that are available on the computer and present you with a list of them in a list box, and then you can choose the drive that you actually want to back up or restore to or from. I'm going to try and find this option in the configuration wizard now by shift tabbing back.
Echo dictated text phrase by phrase disabled.
And I'm going to press R repeatedly until I get there.
Read mail message, web page reminder, the backup, restore days, a default settings, with restore speech files and custom commands from drive, see piece space bar, say so, restore speech files and custom commands from selected drive, please press space bar, say select option to begin the restore process.
Okay, so instead of saying enabled or disabled, you'll notice we're into a whole group of different options, as I described earlier, where we're launching different screens here. So we have this option. If I press the space bar,
quit view, edit, examine in your computer, please leave. Vista C, folder view, list view, not selected, acapella.link 26/11/2007/2019 file folder 1 of 24. Document 3, Microsoft Word.
Right, I think I've got too many applications open. Let me just close.
Vista C, full view, list view, not selected, acapella.link 26/11/2007/2019 file folder.
Okay, so we're back on that list of drives now.
Vista C, address and combo C.
What he will be able to do, again, remember that Brian's working in a really technically challenging environment here. What he would normally be able to do at this particular point, what he's now says Vista C, is be able to up and down arrow through the different drives on the computer. And when you get to the drive where you want to back up the speech files, you could then select that drive.
Restore speech files and custom commands from drive C, please press space bar, space. Restore speech files and custom commands from select drive.
Okay, let's have a go at it.
Folder view, list view, Dolby Z Converter 2.02, 2 of 25, exit. Select drive dialog, list box, all drives, 1 of 1.
Okay. That's not going to work. I've got too many applications open, I think.
Jaws.
The principle, I think, is pretty clear. Basically, as I say, you get a list of drives that you can select from, and then basically you simply select the drive, then select the folder, and then it basically gets on and does it. And under normal circumstances, that is really slick, very smooth, and not particularly chassis at all. Any other features, Brian, that you want to talk about relating to this compatibility release of JSA 6?
Yeah, it would be worth talking about the fact that we have support for the ribbon bar. Mm. That's what we're talking about. When you're on the ribbon bar, we have features. We've always got commands called where am I and what can I do. They've been in the product for a long time, and they give you context-sensitive help-based information where you are. Okay, and we have support on the ribbon bar for that. That's very good. We also have a feature called Broad Mode. Another one that's quite large. Perhaps you could describe what Broad Mode is.
Okay. Broad Mode is... so, normally when you have a broad display and you can say word. All you'll see is you'll see what you did, but you'll see it exactly as it appears in document. What Chrome allows you to do is look at the dragon results box and actually see what dragon is really. So it's a much you see exactly what you would case opposed to just what is going into the document. So you have a cursor.
Brian? I don't know if you can hear me.
Sorry, I'll bring you in a second. But it's really important to say that Braille mode is toggleable, so you can alter the mode Braille mode using a voice command. So basically, if you receive a situation where what's in the results box is important to you, and then suddenly that situation changes, because obviously technical environments and working environments are very fluid things, and your needs are never the same 1 minute after the next. You can quite quickly switch the Braille display back from one mode to the other. Okay. And are there any features in JSA 6 that you feel are poignant that you'd like to see?
I think
Jeff.
No,
sorry,
that's
Jeff,
okay. I was just going to say that we're having some difficulty hearing you due to the Skype connection. I don't know if you want to drop and quickly reconnect. Because it was better for quite some time, and then it got kind of icky.
Okay,
it's bad at the moment, Jeff.
Okay, all right, we'll get back with you in just a minute. All right, and they'll come right back with us here. Sorry about that, everybody, but when we have everyone from Australia to England and all over the world, it's it can be a rather challenging situation, but it shouldn't be too long now before they reconnect us here. So, but yeah, this sounds exciting. I'm encouraged to hear that Office 2007, which the ribbon bar has plagued a number of users as far as its level of difficulty, and this may really help a lot of people, especially with using JSAY, being able to utilize that a lot better. So that's quite encouraging. We're going to be talking about JTunes. Now, this is a new product an upgrade. I believe it's an upgrade to an existing product. There have been scripts out there already for iTunes with JAWS for Windows, but there's going to be a new version. I believe it has store features in it, and I'm sure Brian will be telling us all about that. And of course, they're going to be talking about Say Magic, which is the new Magic software release from TNT Consultancy. And so they've been quite busy. I don't know how they get it all done, but they've been quite busy getting all the scripts done and getting it all in place. So that's quite encouraging news. Now, coming up in March, as we said, GW Micro is going to be here, and Susan Mazrui is going to be joining us from AT&T. She's going to be talking to all of you all about the new telephone or cell phone plans that are available and the phones that are available and such. So we're looking definitely forward to that. And then we have some special things happening starting on the 25th of March, and we'll be getting into that when we talk with GW Micro. So we're definitely excited about that. The number to call into the show in the next half hour or 40 minutes or so is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. You want to write that down. If you have any comments or suggestions, get a hold of us on IM or email mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. We'd be happy to talk with you or take any suggestions you may have. And let's see. I'm waiting for Brian to come back here. Believe. I see Terry, but I do not see Brian on. So let's go ahead and take a little bit of a break here while we wait for them to come back, and then we'll continue our presentation. Again, sorry everyone for the technical issues tonight with the broadband issues. It's been a little challenging here tonight. I think we have the crew back. Hi, guys.
Hi, well, I think we're all back and good again now, Jeff.
Oh, good. All right. Okay. All right. I'll let you continue on there.
Okay. we've had to make a technical decision that we're not going to do any more demonstrating across the presentation, and I suspect the result of that may be that we end up opening the phone lines a little bit earlier, but that's not going to affect the quality of what we do, I hope. We'll still be able to talk to you about the different products and the different features. So, we were talking about JSA 6, we were talking about some of the features in this compatibility release of JSA 6, and Scott was in the process of describing a new Braille-related feature. Scott, tell us about that again.
Yeah, so how it works is, if you have a Braille display, you can... Normally, you'll see... and say if you're dictating into Word, normally you'll see normally what's under the cursor. So, for example, you'll be dictating and your text will just appear in the document. But if you want a more, I guess you could say, precise method of dictation, you can actually read what's in the results box with the new Braille mode. So you can say Braille mode on, and that will actually show you what Dragon sees in the results box. So if you have a specific requirement, you can look at the results box, or if you don't want to look at the results box, if you just want to see what's normally displayed, you can have the Braille mode off and not need the results box.
I wouldn't want anybody to take away from this presentation that JSA 6 had actually made JSA more techy. I don't believe that's the case at all. Obviously, some of the features that we've talked about and demonstrated are theoretically, and at least on the face of it, perhaps a little more technical. But I think, Brian, it's really important to say, isn't it, that although we've introduced more features and presented the features in a different way, JSA is still very much a product for anybody, irrespective of their technical know-how, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I talked about the usability of the ribbon bar, okay, in conjunction with Office 2007. But a great example, Terry, of what you're talking about there is the fact that we've introduced our JDays support. People will remember that we talked about a product that we've produced called JDays, which links together JAWS for Windows with the Microsoft Outlook 2007 calendar. Well, what we've done is we've taken that functionality. JDays is still very much alive and well, and we can talk about that a little bit later on if people like.
Sure.
So what we've done is we've incorporated all that functionality, all that really useful interface of the Outlook calendar into JSA. So what we're doing is we're giving people complete voice control of the calendar, but we're presenting the appointments in a very easy to understand manner.
JSA is one of those technologies that really has to be seen to be believed, I think. You can listen to demonstrations of it, you can talk about it till the cows come home. But the real buzz factor, as far as JSA is concerned, is actually seeing it. And Ed, we're giving people over in America the opportunity to do exactly that in the next few weeks, aren't we?
Yes, we're hosting with 365 at the Cal State University Northridge Conference on Technologies and Persons with Disabilities. Most people call it CSUN. And you and I will be there pretty much all week doing the JSA training class on Monday and Tuesday, and then hosting the booth, which I believe starts on Thursday. And Scott will be with us, Brian will be with us. And at the display, we'll have the opportunity for people to actually come up and test drive JSA such as it is. We'll have a number of computers there that are built, configured, and ready to go. And this will be a good chance for people to get a better sense, hands-on, of what the technology is capable of.
Yeah, Scott sadly won't be with us because the Australian company will have just opened the week before, so he needs to work for his living over there. But we're really looking forward to it. We've never done CSUN before, and we're really looking forward to that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little while's time.
Terry, I just wanted to mention one more thing, actually, about
sure.
Before we round off JSA and maybe give perhaps Ed could give the prices, or everybody could give prices, irrespective of their country.
Sure.
Couple of things. First of all, we've introduced Daisy books. That's what we've done. So before, we had Daisy books. All of our user guide is written, of course, from the perspective of visually impaired people. We have three parts to the use button part, which tells you step by step very clearly how to install the programs. Secondly, we have a learning module, which is more of a tutorial style approach, which doesn't teach you everything that maybe a trainer would teach you if he or she were to come and visit you and train you how to use JSA, but it may get you started if you couldn't afford training or it wasn't available to you. And the third part is the command summary, and it has all of those commands that I mentioned earlier on, a voice command and its corresponding description. Now, we did have these DAISY books of the various segments of the user guide in version 5 of JSA, but we had them read using synthetic speech. This time, it fell to me to read the DAISY books because people felt that they wanted a more human approach. Well, I'm not sure if they've got that, but certainly I've read all of the DAISY books. There's about 8 hours of content there that people have, and we're going to expand that in the near future. Freedom Scientific are working with us so that we can actually get these human and tech synchronized text DAISY books into the FS Reader demo, which is shipped with all JAWS products.
And of course, JSA can only happen because of the extensive partnerships we have with the manufacturers of the two primary products, so that's Freedom Scientific and Nuance. And as ever, we always like to take the opportunity to extend our gratitude to those companies for their ongoing support to the concept of JSA.
And speaking of partnerships, it is worth mentioning, I'm not sure that it's had a mention on Main Menu before, that we do have a very active product, JSA in French. We do have that. We partner with a company called Sacia in Paris to develop the French product, and lots of people are benefiting from that now, and we're starting to embark on version 2 of JSA in French, which will contain some wonderful new features that specifically French people have been asking for.
And that's the very important thing about JSA and the way that we work with the countries in JSA, in that we like to take a bespoke approach. So we don't say, okay, the needs of French-speaking people are identical to the needs of English-speaking people. What we've done with the French version of JSA is design a product from the ground up, which bespokely addresses the needs of the French market.
We use a concept called natural language, so all of the commands are very natural to say. So it's not just when you're localizing a product a case of translating literally every single command and every speech prompt that's by JAWS. What we do is actually sit down with Sacia and say, well, you know, it may not be suitable to say the equivalent of listen to me, for example, in French. What would your users like to say? And that's the very bespoke approach, as Terry was saying, that we take.
And the other very important part about the ongoing development of JSA is the JSA user community. We have a very active JSA listserv where people who are users of JSA or interested in the concept of JSA have, generally speaking, quite a lot to say. And as the design company of the JSA product, we like to help you spend an awful lot of time listening. So I'd like to round off the JSA component of this discussion just by checking on the prices in the countries which we're representing in this evening's programme of the JSA product. Our primary audience, I guess, of ACB Radio is American. So, Ed, let me turn it to you first and ask you for some pricing information for JSA Pro and accompanying products in the States, please.
Certainly. So, JSA Pro 6 in US dollars is $827.50. We do offer an SMA for the product, which is similar to the Freedom Scientific JAWS for Windows SMA, and that's $175. And we also are obviously on an upgrade path, so many of the people that would be listening in tonight probably use JSA, and of course we have a smart upgrade which can convert your existing installation, and the cost is $195. Before I move on to the other products, I also wanted to commend TNT on the learning module for JSA Pro 6. So previously Terry said, although it may sound like the more technical product, I think Brian and the team did a really nice job of expanding and really filling out their learning module to support the product. And it helps walk people through very step-by-step processes so that you can build expertise without necessarily... I just think it's an easy way to learn things, and I'm really appreciative, Brian, that you've done such a nice job with that new learning module.
Thank you very much. Can we go to Scott now, please, the Australian pricing.
Yeah, sure. JSA in Australia is $995. An upgrade for JSA Pro is $295. And... SMA is $395.
Okay. And finally, the UK, if anybody's up at the time of the morning, or probably more safely, like it's a podcast like this and we'll do it at a later date, if you're interested in JSA in the UK, then £525 if I say, and the JSA upgrade, if memory serves correctly, is £195. But don't believe on it today. And over to our website, find it for yourself. You can add our website as the design group here, the standard 3 W's, and then TAMET, as in T and T, -consultancy.com. If you'd like to check out JSA on our Australian website, then the same website, but at com.au. And if you'd like to find out more about JSA from an American perspective, then our very valued partner, over there in the Seattle in Washington, and controlling the whole of the distribution and support of the JSA product across America and Canada, is Next Generation Technologies. You can visit their website again, 3 W's. So that's JSA.
You kind of broke
it's
up
a terrific release of the product, and it'd be fantastic to see those of you who are coming to CSUN to walk you through the product and let you test drive it for yourselves. But of course, computers are more than just work. Computers are fun as well. And one of the things that makes computers so much fun is using and managing music on your computer. For some time, we've had an interface to Apple's iTunes product that's made iTunes accessible to visually impaired people. Well, iTunes is now called, or the interface is now called JTunes, and we're about to release an upgrade to the JTunes product, which completely changes the way that we control iTunes and that we enable visually impaired people to interface with the iTunes product. Brian is not only involved very heavily with the creation of these products, but also our product is also our product development manager right now. Brian, do you want to talk to us about this up and coming in JTunes 3.2?
I certainly will. Thanks, Joe. Before I get to that, I think Jeff was just going to say something. I wanted to give him the opportunity to just say something launched into this.
No problem. I was just going to say, Brian, because you're coming in a lot clearer than Terry is, if you want to give the Next Generation Technologies website, that didn't come through very well. I just want to make sure people get that.
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff. Okay, so the website for Next Generation Technologies is www.ngtvoice.com. But if you go to our website as well at tandt-consultancy.com, there is a link to the Next Generation Technologies website from the JSA page. Okay, so on to JTunes. I'm so disappointed that I can't demonstrate some of these things, because I really wanted to show one or two of these things I'm going to talk about. But we will, certainly for the people attending CSUN, we will be producing an audio CD, and I have recorded a demonstration of what I'm about to talk about for that audio CD, and I'm sure we'll be putting that up on the web at some stage.
Hey, Brian.
As well, so that, yeah.
If you want to get that to me, we'd be happy to run that here
as a podcast?
Well. Sure, yeah. Oh, we can do that as a podcast, or we can run it as an actual hour segment.
Fantastic. Okay, great. So we can do that. So that's, thank you for the opportunity of that. So as Terry said, what we've done is to change some things. We've had to do some reorganization of JTunes, particularly for Windows Vista. JTunes, I think, has been in existence now for about 3 years. It doesn't seem that long, but I think it is. And we've gone through many versions of it, really, predominantly to keep pace with Apple's very prolific output over the years. And a lot of the changes and suggestions have come from, again, the visually impaired community. Okay, JTunes is now working with iTunes version 7.6, which is the latest version that you can download of iTunes, and also JAWS for Windows version 6 through 9. And that's all the builds for JAWS 6 through to 9. Let me talk first of all about some of the small features, and then I'll get on to the really big things. So we've done a lot of cleanup of some of the functions that we've had in there before. So, for example, there were a lot of things that were very dependent upon pixel position. You have to have a certain screen resolution, and you had to have your screen set up in a your display set up in a particular way. That is now less apparent. We're less dependent on that. As I say, because of Windows Vista, we've had to make these adjustments. So you actually things like for those of you who have used JTunes before, things like moving directly to the music library is much better, much more accurate than it was. Expanding the radio list of categories is much more reliable now. So a general cleanup. One of the things that we've done is the menu bar has always been really inaccessible with iTunes unless you had JTunes running. So you would press the Alt key and not a lot would happen. If you arrowed along the menu bar, JAWS wouldn't say a whole lot unless you had JTunes running. And that was actually reliant on highlight color in JTunes. We don't have that now, okay? We're using other methods of being able to access that menu bar. So when you press the Alt key arrow along, not only do you hear the focused menu item, but you also hear its corresponding shortcut key. That might not seem big deal, but I think it is. Exploring menus is one of the first things that anybody does when they're reviewing an unknown application for the first time. So I think it's really important to get the menu bar right. Okay, so that's a small thing, but I think it's quite significant. What else do we have? Let's go on to some of the more major things now. We've actually changed the keyboard interface. We had these very, very easy to use keystrokes, but for some people they were quite complicated. We have probably about 70 or 80 different shortcut keys within JTunes to do different things. Okay, and what we had this situation where we had a desktop keyboard layout where you would press Alt Control Windows followed by a letter or a number. And if you had a laptop, I think it was Control and the Caps Lock key followed by together with a letter or a number. Obviously, as we're growing, as we're putting more functions in, you know, there's a whole raft of shortcut keys you've got to learn. So we've overcome this by employing a technique which has actually been in the first version onwards of the Braille release, BX, of the PacMate. Okay? And this is called layered commands. So what we've done is, by default, we have a key called the JTunes key, and that is the grave accent key to the immediate left of figure 1 on the main QWERTY keyboard. You can change that key, or you can have as many JTunes keys as you want, and we don't just use the keyboard manager to do that. I think what we've tried to do is to present people with an easy interface so that they can not only assign as many keys as they want, but also delete them as well. Okay, so we have that available, that special keyboard interface. So you use the JTunes key, and then once the JTunes key has been pressed, essentially, as far technically, that the keyboard is frozen. So we can do what we want with that keyboard. So we can use any of the letter keys, any of the finger keys, the function keys, control with something, alt with something, any combination at all, once the JTunes key has been pressed. Okay, so for example, I've tried to use a bit of alliteration here where I can. So the JTunes key with M will move to the music section of the iTunes library and things like that. So that there's all the keystrokes are there to do all the different functions, but it's just going to be a bit easier to manage. If you press the JTunes key and then you don't press anything for 5 seconds, we assume you don't care anymore, okay? And we'll tell you that that a JTunes key hasn't been pressed. Similarly, if you press the JTunes key and then a key or a number key which doesn't have any effect as far as JTunes is concerned, we tell you it's not valid. So we've tried to be as foolproof about this as we can. And in view of that, what we've done is we've introduced a help mode as well. We have hotkey help, which I'm going to get to in a moment because that's been changed as well. But what you can do is you can press Insert F1. That's the default JTunes help key, although again you can change that or add to it through our easy to use interface. So you press Insert F1 followed by any letter or number key, and you'll be told what the function is. So it's very succinct help. So if you press Insert F1 followed by M, for example, it will say something like music section, this key, pressing the JTunes key ordinarily with M will take you to the music section of the iTunes library. So it's just a sentence or two, it's nothing too long. Okay. The hotkey help has been reorganized because of all these keystrokes that we do have. When you press Insert H, take you into a list of categories, and they're all hyperlinked. So for example, you have general navigation, you have keys for selection, keys for playback, that sort of thing, keys for the iTunes music store. You arrow down to the link you want, you press enter, and then you're into the list of keystrokes for that category. At the end of that page, that subpage if you like, you have a back to the main index link. You press enter on that, and you do in fact get back to the main index of categories. Okay, so we've tried again to organize it, break it down a little bit, which is, we hope, going to be much better for people. And lastly, I come to the really big news. We think it's quite good.
We think it's tremendous. We've been wanting this ourselves for about 3 years.
Yeah. So we had this situation where we could buy music tracks from the iTunes Music Store. Okay, you could buy individual tracks, but again, we were somewhat dependent upon pixel position. There was a situation, and if you listen to Jonathan Mosen's excellent review of JTunes in the latest FS cast, he talks about this, and quite rightly, you did have to get sighted assistance in some cases to actually set up and train JAWS as to the location of the buy track button to purchase a track for the music store. You don't have to do that anymore. Okay, it's much more robust and simpler to manage. So you just press the keystroke. It's the JTunes key and then B, and that actually buys a track for the music store. But also, you can actually buy albums now, okay, which is really, really good, because everybody asks about this. We've always had to say, no, it's just not possible. Okay, now it is possible. So what you do, the process is, or one of the processes, there are several ways of doing it, you type in an album name, an artist name, you press enter, we now have a function, and it tells you where the search results are ready. And you can then arrow through the tracks, see what the tracks are on an album. You still have the opportunity at that point to buy individual tracks, but if you want to find out the price of the album, you press another key. It's the JTunes key with C, get album price. okay, and that will read the album price in your preferred currency, depending upon your iTunes account. And if you want to buy that, you press the iTunes, the JTunes key with A. So it is, the whole buying process is literally as easy as ABC. That's what I'm getting to. So it's to buy an album, B to buy a track, and C to actually check the price of an album. Okay, so we're really excited about that. We think that actually listening to samples, the iTunes Music Store is very easy to do, audio samples anyway. And this whole process of buying albums and tracks is just going to be really good. So that's really what I was hoping to demonstrate in the as far as iTunes and JTunes is concerned.
So basically JTunes has had a complete rework. And we believe now that it's better than ever and easier than ever and a lot more fun than ever to work with music on your PC. I wanted to move away from JTunes because I'm conscious that I'd like Jeff to be able to get some listeners involved in real soon now. But before I do move away and do that, just want to touch on our other two products and then briefly talk about a new product. JVis is a product which I think we're going to get a lot of interest in. JVis is a product which enables you to use the Windows Vista speech recognition tool with JAWS. And that one is about to happen in the reasonably imminent future for JAWS 9, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It will. We've had quite a bit of a prolific output from Freedom Scientific, which has been good. But it does mean, you see, that with all these products, because we're altering a lot of the default behaviour, because we have to, we're always a little bit behind with supporting JAWS versions. But yes, by the time we get to CSUN, hopefully we'll be showing a version with JAWS 9 of JVist.
Do come and look at JVist. It's not for everybody. It's not a put-down version of JSay at all. It's a completely different concept than JSay, and maybe some of you might like to ask some questions about that as we roll into our next hour. But do come and have a look at JVist if you're not interested in using speech recognition to control your computer, but you are interested in using speech recognition to help you download into somewhere like Microsoft Word or an email message. JVis could be the baby, so do come and have a look at that if you're visiting CSUN. And finally, Brian, we've already mentioned JDays, but that's alive and well, isn't it?
It's definitely alive and well because we think there is a need to present this alternative interface for the calendar. It was still within JAWS 9 because it what we tried to do there is to provide a similar interface, as you will have heard main menu before, which is very similar to what you would experience on one of the Braille note-taking or PDA devices when you're actually viewing your calendar appointments. So yeah, we still have that available. We'll have that available for JAWS 9 as well.
And again, you'll be able to have a look at that at CSUN.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of information about that and the other three products we talked about on the three websites that we talked about. Now, I just want to spend a couple of minutes now talking about a new product which we've been working very hard towards achieving and which we are about to achieve. And this is a product called Say Magic. So, people with low vision also find it very productive and beneficial to talk to their computer. People with low vision might, for example, find it quite difficult split focusing, in other words, looking at the keyboard, then looking at the screen to check that what you've actually typed is what you think you've typed. And there's also other really good reasons, just like there are for visually and totally blind people using voice recognition technology with speech output, why people with magnification needs might want to use speech input with speech output and magnification. Well, Say Magic is the first of our magnification-based products which will enable people who use the Magic screen reader to do this. And Brian and Ed are very involved with the development of this product. So, Brian, perhaps I pass it to you in the first instance to basically describe the product, and then you bring Ed in to talk about some of the concepts behind the product.
Okay, thank you. Well, it's a product I can't see, and I love it. it's going to be good for people who are low vision users, because what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to vary the magnification level. Basically, you can control all the magic user interface by voice. But we have some really great features that we think people, low vision users, are going to really benefit from. For example, you had increased the magnification for a specific reason. So you might have had magnification 4 or level 4, whichever voice command you want to use, and Magic will say level 4 selected, or words to that effect. And then you think, actually, I would rather go back to my original magnification level. You can say restore magnification, and it will go back to the previous level that you were at. So we take a note of what magnification level you were using before we actually set them. We also have the ability to set favorite magnification levels. So yes, Magic allows you to save application-specific settings, magnification, color preferences, mouse enhancements, etc. But we have the ability to save particular magnification levels and other preferences as well, just in case you want to recall those, and they're stored on a permanent basis until you change them. We also have this really great other feature, which is called Save My Place, and that will save the details of the currently focused application. So a lot of what you do within Magic is actually using the Magic control panel. So you have to leave your application that you're working in order to interact with the Magic control panel. So naturally, once you've adjusted all your visual adjustments, you're going to want to return to the application that you were working in. You can then say Find My Place, and that will drop you right back into the application that you were working in prior to going elsewhere or to the Magic control panel. Is there anything that you want to say, Ed, before we open the phone lines to other listeners about specifically Save Magic and the kind of people that would benefit from it?
Yes, one is a general concept, Brian, and that is that for a lot of low vision users that we've worked with, particularly where there's high magnification, creation of text by voice can be a little bit challenging because they don't see all of the text as it's being generated on the screen. They see a portion of it. And I think with the control that one has of output from the system, you'd be able to generate text without worrying about the magnification and use audio processing to get a sense of what's there, and then engage visual processing if you wanted to see something that you didn't quite understand audibly. I think it'll make for a very efficient way of generating text and managing it, again, particularly at higher magnifications. And then since the low vision product seems to start from a different design point than a blind user product, and often there's less audio cues being generated, one of the areas that I think it'll be exciting to push the boundary in will be to see if people who have some decoding or literacy challenges couldn't also benefit from this very smooth integration of voice input and command and control, and then controlled audio output to get more information about what's happening on their PC.
Okay, that's very useful, because, particularly the limited speech prompts is something that certainly people should focus on, because Magic doesn't say as much as JAWS does, of course, but we do have the ability to provide dynamic echo. So in other words, when I was dictating text using JSay earlier on, you heard echo back what I was saying. That same flexibility within Save Magic.
So Save Magic is a brand new product. We are going to have the beta version or e-version on Save Magic season. It's going to be the first time anybody's ever seen it. It's going to be the first time that anybody's brought to the marketplace a really dynamic magnification-based speech input, speech output product. And we hope it's going to be the first of many products that we release sends around different screen readers, bearing in mind that, you know, one of the goals that TNT have is to produce products that use voice input and voice output technology, eventually using the screen reader of your choice. Anyway, we've talked enough. We hope you found what we've had to say interesting and entertaining. I'm going to pass it back to Jeff now because we're really interested and excited to find out about what ACB listeners might have to say to us.
All right, great. Thank you very much, Terry. I appreciate that, and Brian especially. I want to apologize to everybody for the Skype difficulties tonight. We're kind of struggling a little bit with... I think we're taxing the network a bit with everyone here all around the world. It's a little challenging, but I appreciate all of you hanging in there. I have just opened up the phone lines, 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And I would like to ask the first question, and what a great transition, Terry. Zoom Text and Window Eyes are Zoom Text already has scripting capabilities now, and Window Eyes version 7 is going to be having scripting in their version 7 product coming out here soon. And I'm just wondering, are you guys looking at moving these products to, you know, these other screen readers, since they may have the ability of providing the tools that you'll be able to, use to be able to make that happen?
That's a really good question. And, of course, it's becoming more and more interesting and possible now as more and more screen readers at last are starting to see the benefits of scripting. The difficulty that any product development company has, Jeff, especially an independent product development, is the whole issue of timing and road mapping. I mean, in an ideal world, you have 25 people doing this 7 days a week, maybe 8 days a week, and they would have the time to produce products real, real quick. We have a much broader range of products than we are currently able to produce. It's certainly been of interest to us for some time to produce a Window Eyes based product. There have been challenges in that area, but I believe that some of those challenges have now been overcome. I would like to time scale the production of Window Eyes, or indeed a Zoom Text based product that has dynamic echo and kind of feature rich mix of things that you see within JSA. But certainly, conceptually, it's always been our intention to actually provide as much choice as we can. We can serve the screen readers that people use as the suitable magnification output component of their product. So, let me say, it's an attempt to answer the question, but it's also an attempt to be realistic with you and to say, yes, in theory, would be lovely. In this, driven by mobile forces, you have to be driven by all the other things that you have to do. But in an ideal world, certainly, as screen readers become more script-enabled, in the area we'd like to explore further.
Okay, great. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate that. So basically, it comes down to resources, and as long as the screen reader technology, the AT vendors provide you the technology that you would need, you'll put it on your roadmap and go from there, kind of helping
It's a mix of three things, really. It's a mix of the screen reader what we're capable of doing from a scripting perspective. Then it's the second component of mix is, well, what do we believe the market share of such stuff would be if we did it? Because obviously financial liability is always an issue you have to consider. And then the third component of the mix, if you like, is, can we get Brian to work 11 days this week?
Right, of course, yep. Yeah, resources. I know that from doing software development myself, so I hear that. Brian, I had a question. There's been some rumor in the AT community about Apple improving accessibility to iTunes, and I'm just wondering if you might be able to shed some... I'm not asking you to reveal any trade secrets in reference to the product or anything like that, but I was just kind of curious, have you found that to be the case? Have you found them, for example, are they adding MSAA to their product, or have you found it to be somewhat of a challenge for you as you continue your development process of JTunes?
No, I think it's getting easier. The overall interface pretty much was. They are bringing changes as each version comes along, which do make it much easier for us to do what we need to do.
Good. Okay. Our Skype connection's getting really rough right now, and I'm not sure why that is, but it's getting a little bit rough to hear.
Let's see how it goes, and we disconnect and reconnect again.
Okay. You mentioned, as we wait for a call, 866-400-5333, 866-400, Jeff, if we're getting an IM here, I'll get that in a second. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about J-Days in reference to, we know JAWS 9 shipped with some calendar support, and I think it's been a little bit confusing to the consumer as to is J-Days a required product now with the features that are now built into JAWS 9. I was just wondering if you could speak to the differences between the features that JAWS 9 provides versus the features that you provide.
Sure, I think that's a really good question. And, you know, what it all comes down to is the user interface. So, yes, JAWS 9 provides people with access, in inverted commas, to components of the Microsoft catalog. We've got people with, it's actually more than just set. Find people with a user interface which uses vocabulary designed to be easily consumed in the context of a screen reader. And it's just a huge difference there between, on one hand, the interface, but on the other hand, making it agentable, accessible. Would you agree with that, with that distinction, Brian?
Let me give you a couple of examples of the concept, and hopefully it should become very apparent. Okay, so let's imagine, Jeff, that you have order events. Okay, you've scheduled in out 2000. If you were to have the appointment for JAWS 9, what would set you anything like from and then would give the date, and it said 00:00, would meet my particular date, to, and then if it occupied several days, it would give you stolen from the date where it had actually finished. It might say, for 00:00 on the 1st of March, then it comes to 00:00 on the 4th of March, then 8. Even though your appointment actually finished in March, of course, that's how visually it appears on the screen. Okay, so in fact, the appointment only lasts 3 days, but it's telling you maybe because of the visual appearance that it's actually it's 4 days there. But that's how people think. Okay, they actually think that it will last, say, 3 days. So what J-Days will do is when you scan into the appointment, we'll say, you know, will day last about 3 days from the 1st of March to the 5th of March, and then it will tell you all details about the appointment, such as the subject, the organizer, whether it's recurring, all that sort of data. Well, then say, if Karen knows, say, I'll come off in a moment, if you have a timed appointment, it will tell you the start and end time, it will tell you the due, and so it say, from 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, which is 120 minutes, and then it will the appointment data. When you, at the end of your appointments for the current day, it will say something like, end of appointments, pressing tab, move back day views. So it's a bike when you're at a walk document, and you're in a table, you're in the last cell of the table, it always gives you a warning to tell when you press tab, you're likely to and the table dimensions, but like that. The other thing that we have is putting appointments in the virtual viewer. Now, JAWS does this, that's fair enough, but again, we use their own language, useful is the virtual viewer. So everything that you heard by tabbing the appointment can be output to the virtual viewer in the same way, but we also give you the notes. Okay, so it said has notes, you can virtualize that. And what it does is faithfully represents the notes,
line by line as the author intended them to be. And that's very useful and important if you've written an address, for example, as part of the note, and you need to respect the presentation of that. You might want to copy it to the Windows clipboard later on, paste it somewhere, and you want to know which part of the address falls on each line. So it's important to respect the integrity of the notes as the author intended them to be. And I would say that the other thing that we are very good at as on balance as against the existing support, although the existing support is very good, is with Exchange servers, particularly when you're accessing the Exchange and a brand or internet connection.
So what I would say there is for somebody who needs to make occasional use of the Office 2007 calendar, the support that is there already is probably fine. But what he who'd make lots of schedule would be making lots of color adjustments. Or perhaps for somebody who's gone from using a PA like a braille note, and they've just moved into using a PC and they're very calendar dependent, what they will find is that the language and the approach that JDays offers them is kind of similar to the approach they were used to if one creates agreements on blindness orientated PDAs. So that, I think, Jeff, probably gives you a fair clear indication about why JDays has a life, even though Freedom Scientific are offering support for the calendar in JAWS 9.
All right, excellent. We have a caller. Let's bring the caller in here. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live. How can we help you tonight?
Okay, yes, this is Hamid Campos, and I'm from Danbury, Connecticut.
Okay.
I was wondering, because Bernhard mentioned something about in JFA that when you're in the ribbon, you can there's a where am I and what can I do feature. Does that exist in JVist?
Oh, great question. So let's find out. We'll let you listen on the air, okay?
Okay.
Okay, great. So, yeah, basically the question is, does JVist support the ribbon in Office 2007?
Is there where am I and what can I do in JVist? Actually, we seem to both think of things anyway, because they're kind of cross-link issues. And I'll send it to you if I can.
Okay. The answer is no on both counts, because what JVist is about, it's product you can actually dictate to text to the computer. All the screen reading, all the narration is carried out using the keyboard. And of course it's using Dragon Naturally Speak, as there are other earlier. It's in the Windows Vista Speech Recognition keyboard. So what we're talking about here is a very low-cost product in comparison to perhaps one or two of others. And it's designed purely as a dictation tool. So the idea is that you activate the microphone, you dictate whatever text you want into your email or your Word document, will get echo back of your dictation. You are able to educate the software in a very easy to manage way, so that it becomes used to how you say things. But beyond that, it doesn't go anywhere. Okay, so it doesn't give the possibility of controlling the bar or anything else come to that with the voice.
That's understating it a little bit, come on, because we put a lot of effort into the keyboard-based help that we offer within JVist, and I think that is one of the fantastic elements of the product. So, okay. You're being modest, because you're doing the product, right? tell us about the help, because I think the help is fantastic, Brian.
Just one second,
okay,
Terry.
So help,
Terry.
Then you press.
Yeah, Brian. We're gonna need to have you reconnect. You're really breaking up. It's getting difficult.
Okay,
great. We'll let them go ahead and go away here for a second, and they'll be right back. And we'll go ahead and disconnect from there. I want to explore with them the JSA product a little bit and find out a little bit more about their pricing structure. and we'll be asking them all about that. Again, the number tonight, 866-400-5333. You're welcome to call in now if you'd like. We'll put you right on the air and get your question on. We'll take a note of it and definitely queue them up. 866-400-5333. 866-400-JEFF if you'd like to participate in the show. And again, we do really apologize for the Skype difficulty tonight, and we're looking at other alternatives for doing some conferencing, bridging, and things like that. Unfortunately, many of these type products are quite costly, and unfortunately, we as volunteers here at ACB Radio, we don't really have a budget for that. So we're still looking, and we'll let you know if we come up with any solutions. It may be that we're going to have to definitely put out some money to get the quality up a little bit in reference to the bridging, especially when we get more and more people internationally. We do pretty good stateside. Again, the number 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF, as we await for Brian Terry and the rest of the gang, Scott and those guys. Don't forget, next week we have Bookshare and our Mac panel, and then GW Micro the following week with WindowWise version 7, all about scripting. You can get a copy of the show via podcast feeds, and you should also get yourself either on the Friends or Announce lists. Announce-subscribe at acbradio.org. Announce-subscribe at acbradio.org if you'd like to subscribe to that list. And welcome back, gentlemen.
Hi, Jeff. Can you hear us now?
I can hear you fine now. Yes, you sound good.
Very good.
All right, great. One of the questions that I had related to the pricing of JSA. Are you shipping Dragon with that? Is it all bundled together, or is that a separate? Should the customer already have Dragon installed?
Okay, that's a really good question. And the answer to that is going to vary a little bit from country to country. And so because of the primary listening audience being American to this show, let me hand it first of all to Ed for him to answer that question about what we do in America.
So the direct answer to the question, Jeff, is no. The price point that we talked about before doesn't include a copy of Dragon Naturally Speaking Professional. That needs to be purchased separately, but most of the people in America that are distributors of JSA Pro, including NGT, which is the master distributor, can also typically provide the Dragon Naturally Speaking software and or the JAWS for Windows software. So really it's all three pieces, and they all have separate pricing. But again, most people can provide it, and there's typically some discounted pricing if we provide more than one product.
Okay. So if one were to buy, say, JSA and Dragon together, what would that cost in, say, America?
The Dragon product would typically be $789.50. The JSA product is $827.50, and those are kind of the it's the JSA list price and the Dragon street price, if you will, because list on Dragon Pro is $899.99.
Gotcha.
But we also don't control our distributor's pricing, so if somebody were purchasing from a distributor, mm-hmm. they would want to get their pricing. And, of course, we also encourage people to be trained on the product, and often they can make some accommodation on the cost of their training as well.
Now, why is it, and I'll direct this question to Brian, perhaps. Brian, why is it that you cannot use the less expensive versions of Dragon? Are there specific features? Obviously there are, I guess. Are there specific features? Because it would, you know, seem that there'd be a prettier price point for the consumer if they could get into, say, you know, the standard version or I'm not sure if there's a middle tier version of that anymore.
There is, and there are two answers to that question, really. I'll give you the technical one first, and then I'll give you the less technical, and Terry might want to expand on the latter. The technical answer is that Dragon Naturally Speaking Professional has a macro creation capability within it, okay, which not only allows us to create the thousands of Dragon macros that we actually create for the JSA product, along with the equal number of JAWS scripts, I have to say, But also, it allows users to create their own macros. So one of the things that a lot of people do, particularly a lot of trainers, is that they do create special custom commands for users. So, for example, a person might want the ability to dial telephone numbers using an external modem in conjunction with their telephone, because they don't have the ability to be able to use the keyboard or use the telephone at all. So that's the sort of thing that the Dragon Naturally Speaking Professional product lends itself very nicely to. The other less expensive products, and they are considerably less expensive, don't have that macro writing capability. Now, the other answer to the question is, we did actually produce, we actually never started the JWare line of products, if you like, with JSay Pro, the product that we have now. What we started with was a product called JSay Standard. And that gave you very similar functionality to what's available within JVist at the moment, although it did have a certain amount of control capability there. But the market, I think, Terry, really didn't... It wasn't suitable. The product just wasn't going anywhere, was it, really?
The market told us to stop doing it.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, if you look at the number of JSay Pro users now relative to the number of JSay Standard users 3 years down the line when we stopped producing JSay Standard, it was only just probably double figures. So, Jeff, I understand the point of your question. I also understand, and we say in a very outspoken manner, that JSay Pro is not a low-cost solution. It's not intended to be. However, JSay Pro enables a vast number of people to interact with the digital age that us as just blind people take for granted, who previously and without the JSay product really couldn't. So, yes,
absolutely,
there are a number of people who may be only blind who would benefit from JSay, but there are a much greater number of people who have a great many challenges and mixes of challenges to deal with, that through JSay technology they can now do things like email and access the internet, and without our technology they would not be able to do that. So it's not a low price solution, it can't be a low price solution, and when we had a low price solution with JSay Standard, the market told us it didn't want it. Now, what we tried to put into the product mix now with JVist is exactly that. So for somebody, a guy like yourself, who's obviously a very technically competent, very competent keyboard user, etc., you might regularly get into situations like maybe you're a Braille user, you create reports, and you want to then dictate those reports into Microsoft Word. If that's all you want to do, then we offer you JVist to be able to do that. But if you have other challenges to deal with that mean that you have to interact with your computer at, if you will, a lower level, then JSay is what you need, and JSay is priced accordingly relative to that need mix.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And really, you know, it's only going to, your market is going to expand even more as the years go on here, especially with a lot of the repetitive strain injury stuff that's going on, as well as things related to diabetes and things with, neuropathy and things, where people aren't going to be able to type.
It's worth looking at our website, Jeff, because if you want to understand the mix of people who are benefiting from the technology, then on our JSay page we have a JSay user stories section, and that really does demonstrate the kind of breadth of people and the mixes of issues those people are dealing with, who JSay technology is making such a difference for.
Absolutely, absolutely. The number is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. Now, the same magic product, now does that work right along with JAWS itself too then, or you know, the combination? I know magic will work along side by side with JAWS. Because I could see, you know, there's definitely low vision people who use JAWS as well.
Brian, I'll let you deal with that.
Okay. The answer is yes, potentially it can. It can be used alongside JAWS. So if there is a low vision user who uses, for example, the screen to magnify areas, but who predominantly needs the speech from JAWS, because Magic, as I said earlier, doesn't really give you as much speech feedback as JAWS does, for obvious reasons, then yes, the two products could be potentially linked together. There isn't any difficulty there. But Say Magic can be used as a standalone product, obviously, with Magic, and there are speech components in there as well.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So really, you kind of get the best of both worlds there with Say Magic.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, good. Brian, were you the primary developer of Say Magic then?
Well, we have a team of low vision experts, both at TNT Consultancy and also at Next Generation Technologies, who are very experienced users of and trainers of Magic, and also Zoom Text as well, and other low vision products such as Supernova from Dolphin. And so obviously not being able to see the visual output, myself and also my family are also all low vision computer users who use Access Technology. I obviously got input from them. Certainly I did the coding of it, and obviously the speech-based components are very easy for me to manage. But I think that it's very useful, essential, if nothing else, to have sighted input to make sure that what you're actually coding for is working.
I think it's also important to say, Jeff, that what we're trying to do here at TNC now, as our product mix and range increases, is to move away from a scenario where we have one individual who's doing all of the product creation. So Brian, at the beginning of this year, took on some management responsibility within the international company. So his role is now product development manager. And so it's very important to him as a development manager that we move away from a single development point to a team-based development cycle. And certainly that's something that Brian and Scott, who is also able to do some coding as well, are looking to do over the next 6 months. So what you'll see over the next 6 months, not just from a Say Magic perspective, but also from a general product development perspective, is that the development cycle becomes much more team-based, with the team headed up by Brian, because clearly he's got a lot of historical experience in the field of product development.
Sure, that makes perfect sense, and that's great because that means you'll be able to get more products out there and more features out to the community. Now
it means we can just be more responsive. I think, you know, people say we found this bug. Well, as it stands at the moment, it's one individual who solved the problem. But if there's a team of people who solves the problem, not only will it enable us to get more product out there, but it will enable the products that we already have out there to be far more responsive to user needs.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to touch on this a little bit, if that's okay. If you're not comfortable talking about this, that's okay. I just wanted to find out. Either Brian or Scott, since both of you are kind of in the development world there, how do you find, you know, being blind? I know, Brian, that you're totally blind, right, Brian?
That's right. Yeah.
Right. So this must be really, really interesting for you to be able to take, let's say, an application like iTunes or, an application like that, which is inherently, you know, without your scripts, completely inaccessible to a blind user. I don't want to go into a whole, you know, in-depth development process here, but how do you approach that? I mean, it's just kind of amazing from a person who can't see the screen, looking at an application that, say, you know, you really don't have a feel for how it really works unless you can actually get it to somewhat function for you. So I didn't know if you wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about that.
Sure. I've got to say that a significant part of my job is actually going around to, visiting different places, employment particularly, within the UK, to visiting visually impaired people, scripting applications that just do not work with JAWS right out of the box, and many of these bespoke applications relative to different companies, they don't do that. They don't work right away. So that is part of my job, and because it is, I have an excellent sighted support assistant, and it's his job to give me the visual feedback that I need in terms of what is actually happening on the screen, what things JAWS isn't detecting, and particularly with iTunes, that's an important factor, because JAWS doesn't detect everything that's actually on the screen. And other visual elements that I might be missing out on. I do use, obviously, the lower level components of the JAWS software, such as the JAWS cursor, or the home row utilities for anyone techie that's familiar with JAWS in that way. But certainly the visual assistance that I get from my support assistant is absolutely invaluable, and I don't think that I could go into, on a daily basis, the challenging environments that I go into and script these applications without that sighted help.
Okay, what about the buzz factor? I mean, you know, going into an environment or creating access to an application for somebody, either for an employment or a pleasure perspective, once you've actually got that access going, once you've actually created that bespoke access for that user, and you walk away and they can use something that they couldn't have previously used, I mean, there must be an incredible wow factor in that.
There is. And I really like it. Obviously, if I can keep someone in a job just by creating this access, then it is really, really good. And the product as well, Terry, that we have an incredible beta testing team. And I know that I often do stay up often late into the night doing coding and sharing the enthusiasm regarding the product with the beta testers, who are equally enthusiastic about it. And often, you know, ideas come about and they get coded very, very quickly, because across the world we're all sharing this enthusiasm for getting it done.
That's the other really important thing, Jeff, you know, about our products and about us in the UK and about TNT in Australia and about our terrific partnership with NGT in America. The development base of our products, now whether you're talking there, remember there's two elements to development. There's the coding element of development, but there's also the creativity element of development. I'm not a coder by any manner of means, but I'm a reasonably creative person. A lot of the ideas that... Let me give you a really good example. One of the main saves of the JSAVE product, right, is Where Am I and What Can I Do? Where Am I and What Can I Do was born at about 3:30 one Friday afternoon when Brian and I were sitting opposite each other and we were saying, OK, we think JSAVE version 4 is just about ready to go. And then I said, hang on a minute, what about if we created an orientation system called Where Am I and What Can I Do? And that is how that happened. And that now is one of the biggest selling points of JSAVE Pro. So, you know, development is about coding, but it's also about enthusiasm, it's about sharing a vision, it's about working together. And the really important thing about the way we work here at TNT, I think, is the fact that we develop products for blind people, and we're blind people ourselves. So our products are filled with enthusiasm and market sensitivity.
Yeah, that's great. I hear that, and you're right. You know, if people think that development is just sitting down and pounding out code, they're vastly wrong. In fact, I would say a great deal of the time is spent in meetings talking about feature sets, and at least it is in my business too. When we work on things, a lot of discussion and decisions are reached by definitely communicating in a team environment. And I'm glad to see that you guys are. That you guys are doing that as well. Now, we haven't heard too much about new features coming for JDays. We heard, you know, that basically that it's out there and that kind of a thing. Are you guys working on a new version of that? And if so, what might we expect out of that?
JDays is now obviously compatible with JAWS 9. And again, just like all of our products, the more products get out there, the more products are used by people, the more feature-rich the products can be. With a product like JDays, it's kind of difficult to continue to create features because, obviously, given that the product is an interface-based product, i.e. it's interfacing with the Microsoft Office 2007 calendar, you can't build features outside of the constraints of the product itself. So, right now, we're compatible with JAWS 9, the JDays, and the things that I guess we're concentrating on more than anything with JDays right now is its overall responsiveness and its timing. For JDays to work, we don't just have to do things with JAWS. We have to do some pretty funky things with Outlook as well to interrogate it, to get the information we need, not just to get it, but to get it quickly. So I think the development that you'll see with JDays over the next few months may not necessarily be particularly feature-centric because, as I say, you're kind of bound by what the thing itself, what the product itself does that you're interfacing with. But I think what you will see is the interface tighten up, you'll see it become more responsive, etc. So that's the kind of development focus that that product has right now. But obviously, if people come to us with features they'd like to see in JDays, if they say, well, you know, we use the calendar all the time, and wouldn't it be great if... wouldn't it be great if, as I was saying, you know, very often turn into reality really quite quickly. So we'll be driven by the user community of JDays, but whilst at the same time making sure that we're really focused on improving the interface and the responsiveness of the product as JAWS continues to develop down the line.
Jeff, I wanted to... Well, I see we've got about probably 10 minutes or less left.
That's right.
I did want to give Ed the chance, because I know he mentioned it to me. He wanted to mention talk on Main Menu about the JSA training class.
Oh, okay.
That's coming up.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about CSUN. That's right. You guys are going to be there. And yep. So let's throw it over to Ed, and then we'll fill out the rest of the time with what you guys are going to be covering at CSUN. And I know you're going to be... Are you going to be doing a podcast again, by the way?
Oh, yeah, we're going to be there.
Okay, good. So why don't we start with Ed, and then we'll throw it around, and we'll wrap stuff up with CSUN and the podcast.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks. Well, we're very excited. We're holding our third annual JSA training class held in conjunction with the CSUN Week in Los Angeles. And this year it'll be held on March 10 and 11. Which is the Monday and Tuesday of the CSUN week. Terry and I will be hosting the class. We're renting some space at the Renaissance Montura, which is the sister hotel of the Marriott, which is one of the host hotels for the conference. And really the program is two full days of training pretty much everything associated with JSA. It's a class that's designed both for end users and for people who would be doing training or support of JSA technology. And Terry and I will take people from everything from installing the software and using the new configuration wizard through how to use the application in places like on the internet, doing text processing, doing email, and so on. It's meant to be very comprehensive but also very relaxed. We have a tuition for the class, and the tuition is $994.50. But anybody that does attend our class will get a copy of JSA Pro 6 as part of their class tuition. So we hope that makes it a much more attractive and friendly proposition for people who might want to attend. And we still have some seats available. And so if anybody out there had an interest, they could contact me directly either through the NGT website, or I'll give my email address. And my email address is Edward, my first name, edward@ngtvoice.com. And as you'll recall, ngtvoice.com is our domain. So if you can't capture the Edward part, just go to our website. You'll find a contact link, and from there you can email me. I'd be happy to provide additional information. And I'm looking forward to having a chance to work with Terry on our third annual class.
It's going to be fun. And ahead of that, Jeff, we're talking about the podcast. It's going to be really good fun this year because I've got a bit of a bit of a round-the-world bash to do. because the week before CSUN, we're opening our brand new offices in Sydney, Australia. So next Thursday, I head away from the UK. I head to Sydney. I'm there for a week. Then I'm going to travel to LA. I'm there for a week. And then, assuming I'm still in one piece, I get back home. Now, what we're going to do with the podcast this year, we're going to obviously cover the Australian opening, and we're also going to have some great fun at CSUN, because I'm dying to show Brian some of those bars that I took you all to last year. And let's see if we can have some fun there. But I'm going to take you on the podcast right from the start of my journey. So right from Heathrow Airport, I'll podcast from the plane, I'll podcast from Australia, I'll podcast as I cross from Sydney to LA, and then of course tons of stuff talking to all kinds of people at CSUN as well. So the podcast is going to be really good fun this year, I hope. And you know what, Jeff, I was amazed last year at the number of people who downloaded that thing. I mean, I just did it for a laugh, you know. I thought, oh well, I'm here, let me do it. And I spoke to Brian, because he was taking responsibility for the uploads and stuff, and I spoke to him after the first episode on the Wednesday of CSUN. And he said, mate, 1,800 people have downloaded this thing. I thought, oh my God. I couldn't believe it. So we hope it's well received this year. And obviously it's going to be information centred, but it's going to be fun centred as well, because I'm afraid that's the nature of me. I can't do things too seriously, I'm afraid.
And the actual booth that we're in at CSUN is 365. And obviously we'll be there in that booth on the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay, great. Yeah, you, the word really got out about the podcast, and it spread like wildfire, and people were downloading it and blogging all about it, and it was people went
crazy.
People
were coming up to me saying, your American accent's dreadful.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
and that's no joke. I was standing in the middle of one of the big halls at CSUN, and I was talking to somebody, and somebody came up to me and said, you're Terry Clasper. I said, am I? He said, yeah, your American accent's dreadful.
Oh, that's very funny. That's great. Well, good. And it will be interesting to see what type of things that you get, because I know last year you ran around the exhibit hall and you recorded a few presentations, and although I know that's getting harder and harder to do at CSUN. And so, yeah, that's great. We're really looking forward to that. You want to give out the because the podcast is not on the you guys have a special address for it, right?
No, you just head over to our normal website, www.tandt-consultancy.com. There'll be a link on the front page. It'll take you right there.
Okay, because there
what you'll be able to do, obviously, you'll be able to put the podcast feed
exactly.
URL into any podcatcher that you happen to use.
Great. Okay, are you going to be using FeedBurner again this year for that, or?
Yeah, we will. Thank you for that, Jeff. That was really useful last year.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Good. So if we already have the feed, then we can use the old address.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Okay. Do you by chance remember what that is, so that people can get that added?
No, but we'll make sure that there'll be a blog and podcast link on the homepage.
Okay, don't worry, and we'll get the word out here.
Specific instructions on there.
Okay, good.
And we'll just follow your nose. We'll make it really easy.
Oh,
so
yeah. Well,
even for people who aren't particularly into podcasting and techie stuff, we'll make it just child's play, so you can download it and get it into your podcast receiver.
Exactly. Okay, good. Well, there's not a lot of choices out there anymore, unfortunately. Kind of, you know, juice kind of died on the vine, and although it's still, you know, usable, it's unfortunate that they're not really continuing the development on that. So we've been kind of eagerly looking for new things, and I know Jonathan covered RSS feeds and IE on the FS cast. And that's definitely...
Yes, he did that very well.
Yeah, there's definitely... that's definitely a way of doing it. There's some issues, though, if you have Winamp installed, and you have to uncheck a couple of checkboxes in the file types.
Yeah, that's right, you do, yeah.
And otherwise it won't work, so... Well, I want to give all of you an opportunity to give your contact information. We're just about out of time. And so if anyone wants to get a hold of you about... JSay or JDays or JVist or JTunes or
okay.
any
the
other
the starting point. Okay, the simplest starting point is our website, because on our website we link you to the Australian website and the American website, and it's just a one-stop shop for everything J-Ware orientated. So whether you live in Australia, America, England, or anywhere else in the world, start off at our website, www.tmttandt-consultancy.com, and there you can navigate to all of the countries who we love participating with and working with to find out anything at all relating to the products that we've really enjoyed talking to you all about over the past 2 hours right here on Main Menu.
That's great. Okay, good. You want to give any phone numbers out, say, for next generation technologies or anything like that?
Okay, so if you're in America, you want to speak to next generation technology, then basically you just dial 425-744-1100. So again, 425-744-1100.
Okay, great. All right, well, Brian and Scott and Terry, and I know I'm going to be forgetting some names here. Ed, I think, was that?
We got Ed, yeah.
Yep, we got Ed. Okay, good. I want to thank all of you very, very much for coming on tonight. And again, apology to our listeners for the Skype difficulties tonight. It's the way of the technology. Again, we're looking at alternatives for that, and we're coming up with some ideas, but unfortunately, many of them cost quite a bit of money.
and it's the way, isn't it?
Yes, and as a volunteer.
Thanks for having us on today, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
We're sorry, too, about the technology, but I haven't detracted from listeners' enjoyment of the show this evening.
Absolutely not. Okay, and we'll definitely get the high-quality feed of the information that Brian has available, and we'll get that up as well, too. Thank you, gentlemen. It's definitely been a pleasure.
Thank you, Thanks Jeff. So it's much. Been great.
Good night.
Everyone.
Next week, don't forget, we're going to be having Bookshare on. Jim Fruchterman's going to be here with us, and he'll be talking to you all about the current state of Bookshare and what the future holds. And our Mac panel of experts will then be joining us. Next week, it's GW Micro time, and they're going to be talking to all of you all about the new WindowEyes version 7.0 and its new scripting capabilities and more. They obviously have added other features to the product as well. If you'd like to get a hold of the Main Menu production team, email us at mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. We'll see all of you next week on a brand new edition of ACB Radio's Main Menu and Main Menu Live.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.
The following program is not suitable for air over amateur radio. It's barely suitable for air on broadcast radio. Please disconnect your amateur repeater now.